Welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
I want to welcome you to the Dr. Pat Show, Talk Radio to Thrive By, and we are kicking it up big time right now. 3 days. No, wait. 2 days. Well, I got to count today. 2.5 days away from our super duper. Oh my God. We call it the launch. I really need to come up with a better acronym for that. But it was 23 years in the making from an idea, and since 2009 in the making for the technology to catch up with our vision. But here's the deal. This show and this episode is all about this. It really is. Joining me here today is somebody that knows a bit about fear, but more importantly, how to live without fear. That's Alexis Hughes joining me here today. And her own show, the things she does, how she comes out of the gate, what she does, where she does it, all of the above is to help every single one of us understand that we get through it. Somehow, we get through it. So if you're watching the show and you're looking at Alexis right now with the without fear sign, I want one of them, except they have to match our transformation new colors, the magenta and cyan. Today, this is what it's about, what we regret and how to fix it before it's too late. OMG, Alexis, right?
Every day, going towards it.
Wow. Look, as a death doula, strategic life coach. See, what I think we don't understand a lot of is how regret turns into resentment. Right. Would you agree that that's kind of like the natural path unless we stop regret? It just goes right into resentment. And we know resentment is the killer, right?
Yeah, 100%. All that stuff that you don't have a place for goes into anger, either at yourself or those around you.
Oh, my God. Thank goodness. I've had to go through a lot of programs. Anger management wasn't one of them. But I know I've come close at different points in my life and mostly angry at myself. But I want to ask you this question. Look, you know, you spent years sitting with the dying, listening to what they wish, listening to what they said. What would they have done differently? I don't want to be that person in my life. And I'm not sure many other people do. I think also from your experience, what we've seen, especially since the pandemic, we saw so much of that. Or at least the stories that I heard from people. I wish I would have said to Dad, I wish I just didn't have to have my hand on a glass. And so let me ask you this. In the scheme of things, what is the big R that people have said to you? What is the regret that people have as they get to the end of their life or they think about getting to the end of their life?
There's 5 or 6 different things that I hear generally at the end of life that all can be put into kind of one thing. I didn't live for me. I lived for my job, for someone else, for a title, for a dollar, for a role defined by my position with someone else, wife, mother, partner, etc. I lived for a purpose external to me. And then when I got to the end of my life, I regret not doing anything for myself, not traveling, not going to school, not, you know, telling someone that I love them, not telling someone to shove off. I didn't do anything for me.
When we think about that, people often think, and I'm not the expert, you are in this area, but they often think it's too late, Alexis. Have you heard that? Like, have you heard what people
all the time.
They're like, great. Now it's great for me to have that insight. But what do people, from where you sit, what do they say they wish they would have done more of or less of? What have you heard?
Be authentic, whatever that looks like for them. Be authentic. And I run into a lot of end-of-life people pleasers who just kind of went along to get along, who didn't want to rock the boat, who just lived their life daily, and their life was okay. When you say, you know, what do you look back on your life and what are the most amazing things? You look to them for the sage-like knowledge of an elder at the end of life, and they go, "Hell's all right." And my heart just shatters into a million pieces because you deserve better than okay at the end of your life, whenever that might be. And it's just always kind of a sad story of capital R regret for not taking any risks and playing it safe, because people value their safety over joy. And they don't want to risk their safety to explore anything to seek joy.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, also along those lines, let me ask you about this, because this is also part of coaching, right? And, you know, your worth, the work that you do as a death doula, but also that has had an enormous influence on you and how you craft the work that you do with other people. And, you know, our fear of death really is so related to our fear of change in so many ways, isn't it? And, you know, here's the thing that I've learned about change. And a mentor said this to me a long time ago. He said, "Pat, you know, here's where you are. Here's the deal with you. You know, when you're going to actually change," I was younger then, "you know, when you're going to actually change, you're going to change when the pain that you are experiencing right now in this moment is greater, and for you, Pat, much greater than the pain of change. And by then, if you really wait to that, it might be too late."
Yeah. And that's something we see all the time, is people are scared to take the leap of sending that email, making that phone call, you know, looking at an apartment in another city. But when I ask someone in my coaching program to take a small risk, right? Like, you're being pushed around at work or you want a pay raise, send that email. Anything you don't ask is a no. Send that email. And then I'll follow up with them and be like, "All right, well, you sent the email. Did you die? No, you did not. Right. You're fine. You are risking it to seek joy and, you know, reward and validation, whatever you're seeking. But did you die? No, you're fine." And when you really dial that back and you look at what risk actually is, you got a lot more power in your life than you think you do.
Yeah. And, you know, part of what you just said is interesting, because I had a call earlier today, and Linda actually heard the call and heard me uncharacteristically on the call. Because usually if I'm on the call, it's like I live in the world of it's all good. And this call was not. And it was powerful for me, because the call started out threatening me. And I'm like, okay, if that's the way we're going to start this call, just hang up. I said, because this is not a place that I'm going to go. And I was so proud of how I did what you just said, was to say, I can still be me and, you know, be a positive centric individual. And I'm not a doormat. And I think one of the hardest things to do, and this leads to your coaching, the hardest thing to do right now is to be able to stand up for oneself, whether it's an email or otherwise. But this is something you do. You really took a page out of Stephen Covey's book when he said, start with the end in mind. But nobody realized that you got to start with the real end in mind. But isn't that part of how you coach? Isn't it a reverse engineering idea? And Covey made a lot of money off of that little quote.
Yeah, I love the reverse engineering analogy, because essentially what I did was I saw all the problems that people have when they are ending their life and time has run out. So I picked that up and I dropped it back about 40 years because I want you to start building your lore now. Do you want to be the cool aunt who rode the iron train across the desert and your, you know, grandkids are like, look at this cool person? Like, think forward. What do you want to be when you die? What do you want that legacy? Like, what stories do you want the people that cared about you to tell at your funeral? Is it just like, man, she had a really mean chicken casserole that we liked? Like, come on, you deserve more than that from your life. And you can have it.
It's so funny. We're talking about this. Somebody asked me what I really wanted for the end of this year. So, of course, we're launching on Friday. But they asked me what I really, what do you really want? And I said, OMG, I know the answer. They're like, okay. I said, I want to compete in the national table tennis champion in Vegas in December. And you could hear a pin drop on the Zoom call. I mean, if I could have taken a picture of this person's face, and they said, seriously, Pat? Like, given, like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I said, seriously, I'm trying to really figure this out, how to make that happen. That's really what I would like to do in December, on my, like, around the birthday. And I just thought, how quickly could I go to shame and guilt on this? Like, it wasn't good enough.
Right. We're so worried about being cringe. Who cares? Embrace the cringe. Release your inner menace. Who's going to stop you? Nobody.
But see how quickly that happens. Isn't that part of what you're doing now? Because coaching right now, and especially for women, it's hard to imagine moving forward, especially if you have a dream and a vision, without getting some support. So tell me a little bit about how you do address shame and guilt. You see how quickly I could have gone to that and said, oh, yeah, not really. I don't want to do that. I want to, like, clown. I don't know. I don't even know what the response would have been. But how do you help people get through the people pleasing, the perfectionism, the shame?
We have to really look deep inside of you for what authenticity looks like. So when I coach for people to be their authentic selves, we have to find out what that looks like. So I'll use, like, a personal example to illustrate the point. When I hear people call me tenacious, I'm like, yeah, okay, that fits. I like that jacket. I'll wear it. But then a few years ago, I also heard someone describe me as a pit bull. And I didn't care for that. And I had to sit still and think with that about, like, well, why do I not like that? What doesn't sit well with thee? And so when we're talking about, like, shame and guilt, why did that make me feel bad? Why did I feel like that was not in alignment for the person that I wanted to be? And so we address those things. When you feel the shame or the guilt, why? Where is it coming from? When we take that rock and we flip it over, what kind of bugs are crawling around underneath it? And that's what we address. We have to flip rocks over and go down, like, a chain of why, to find the central issue and address it there.
Yeah, I love this. I want to talk to you about a couple of things along the way here, because disappointment is a really interesting term, and it is an energy. And, you know, part of what we're developing in our technology app for next year is to use the Hawkins scale. And so I'm really close to some of these things, but disappointment is so tricky. But before we go there, I want to make sure people know, one, how to find out more about you, more about what you're doing. But most importantly, we need to get help. I have multiple coaches. I don't know. Some days I just have to ask what seems to be the silliest questions on the planet. But I can't ask myself, because then I get silly answer. So how do people find out about you? How do they work with you?
Yeah, so my website is withoutfeardoula.com, withoutfeardoula at Gmail, and at withoutfeardoula on pretty much anything else. And really, I just need people to approach me with courage. That's all you need. That you are in your situation and you've woken up today and you're like, you know what? I'm on the edge of the cliff and I've had enough. Of whatever it is. And if you are ready, if you can self-identify that something needs to change, That's all you need, because then it's just a matter of putting one foot forward and then you're walking, then you're on your way. But taking that first step of realizing I don't like this anymore and I want to change it is the key.
Look, that leads me to the next thing, because, you know, this is an energy that I don't get a lot. It's not like my Achilles heel, this one. But every time I get hit with it, it's a spiral downhill. And let's talk about disappointment.
Yeah. So it's okay to be disappointed, but you can't live there. You cannot live there. It's okay to take a few hours or a day or a weekend and be like, I didn't get the job. The relationship is over. But that is not a judgment. That's not a moral judgment on you. That's situational. Something didn't work out. The environment wasn't correct. You were in a position that was no longer working for you. So whether you made the decision or the decision was made for you, you're being pushed out of an environment that isn't going for your best success. And disappointment's okay, because we love what we know. We don't trade safety for joy. We don't love risk. We want to stay where it's safe, where we get up every day and we know what our expectations are. And so when those things change, it's scary. That's terrifying. I don't know what I'm going to do with myself today. And disappointment goes right in there with that of, you can be sad and you can be upset, because, you know, we go through, I would even classify disappointment as a small death. You know, something has died to make you disappointed. So deal with that grief, but deal with it and move on. You know, you can't stay there. You must move.
When I left the corporate world, because one, I couldn't take it anymore. It was completely out of integrity what they wanted me to do as an executive. And then I went back to school immediately before I even left the company. And then I went on and I was encouraged to go to a doctoral program, and I applied to like 35 schools and I was rejected by every one of them. Now, I don't come from an educated family, so I didn't even understand the process. And I even sent Columbia, who actually wanted me, I sent it to the wrong department. So what do you do in a situation like that? Well, I packed up and I moved to Seattle, fresh start. And I went through that death period because I would think it was a death of a dream I had since I was 17. Don't know why I had to get a doctorate. Didn't even know what it was, to be honest with you right there. But it hit me hard. When I went through what you just described and came out on the other end, something miraculous happened. Linda calls me and she had a letter from Claremont that said, yep, we couldn't take you this year, but you're on the waiting list to become in next year. Now, I'm not telling you that because I let go of it, that happened. That probably was going to happen anyway. But even when Linda told me about that letter, I was still so down. I was in that moment of, you know what? I don't care. Thank goodness for my friend Linda, who sent the letter back. But see, part of that, we can become our losses. We can become our defeat, right? And I was very close to doing that. We don't want that, do we?
No, we don't want to define our worth, character, value on external things happening to us. That comes from inside. That comes from in here, from you knowing those things about yourself. You can be rejected from every college in the country. That doesn't make you any less of a person. That doesn't mean you're dumb or you're not good enough. It just means that's not going to work out right now. And like you said, letting go is so important, because any news then is good news. You've already let it go. Everything then is a positive.
That's right. By the way, I got to spend I moved to a great apartment in Seattle on Capitol Hill, got to ride my Harley Davidson around and walk my collie, and I actually needed that year off. See, the universe was so much smarter than me. I just crashed after leaving corporate America 6 months before a full pension, but I went to Columbia and I hadn't taken a breath in like 30 years or something. And I needed this year to regroup. So let me ask you this. How do you help people do that? How do you help them align and start to live with that level of intention? Now, just because I didn't go to school didn't mean I didn't set the intention to hang out on Capitol Hill, have coffee, and ride my Harley.
Right. So there's a saying, and it's kind of like a coaching philosophy too, that hell isn't fire and brimstone. It's you passing away and then meeting the person that you could have become. That is the person that would be your top potential. So be that person. When you are set back by disappointment and those kind of things happen and you need to really move forward intentionally, who would that person be that you meet in that big white room? What are all the things that they're going to tell you? Put them on a vision board, write them down in a journal, make them real, make them tangible that you look at every day, you know, and that can change, right? Our situation can change. We can, you know, have an awakening and we're like, man, I want to abandon this career I've been in for 20 years because something touched my life and I want to do this other thing now. That's okay too. But having at least some direction will tell you what you don't want. Because if you set that direction and you head that way and you're like, you know what? Actually, this is not what I thought it was. Change direction. Being flexible and agile and being able to pivot, because you have to keep checking in with yourself about, is this authentically me? Why do I want this thing? Is it for me? Is it for my family? Is it to live up to a legacy that I don't want or do want? Why? Why am I chasing this particular dragon? And is it my dragon to chase? And then chase it.
Yeah. See, what you're talking about is, I don't want to say 9 times out of 10, because I don't know. But a large part of my life, being independent, growing up the way I grew up, I learned how to pivot. But I didn't always learn how to pivot in the direction I really wanted to go. This is part of what we're talking about here today, because that's the guidance system that you put in place to help people. What are some of the tools that you use for folks?
So I have something that is, I call the joy portfolio. My undergraduate education is psychology. My graduate education is in business strategy and leadership development. And business plans work. People love structure and a sense of control, like what I was talking about earlier about being lost in disappointment because things change. If you have a framework and you get up and you know what to expect every day and we know what our goals are, that makes life easier. And there's, you know, I've seen memes on Facebook that are like, you wake up every day and you have 200,000, however many seconds are in a day, dollars put in your bank account every day. What do you do with them? Well, you have that many seconds in a day. What are you doing with your time? And I took that personally, because now I look at my joy portfolio. Where am I investing my time? Into what stocks in my life am I putting my time? And is that serving the joy that I want at the end of my life, or at the end of the day, or the end of the week, or whatever? Because sometimes, let's face it, it's day to day. I'm looking for tomorrow, and that's okay. But we really need to be conscious of what we are devoting our time to, because what we devote our time to is what our reality is going to be.
I want to ask you this last question. I know that, you know, this is our time together, but I want to ask you this question. Because what we're talking about is preventing a complete implosion on the inside, really, at so many different levels. Everything we've talked about, from frustration to regret, when you have all of those and they accumulate on the inside, that is not an end game we want to move forward in life with, is it?
Right. No, because the heavier it is, you're going to drown. And even if letting that out is just screaming into a pillow or crying in the shower or whatever, do it. No one cares. You are the main character of your own story. So do what you got to do to let it out in a safe way that doesn't harm yourself or others. And then when you are done, you pick yourself up and you say, okay,
yeah,
now what?
Yeah. Yeah. Alexis, one of the things that I find is so important now is to talk to our audience. I've been talking to them for 23 years, but I had to come full circle here recently, and I'd say the past 6 years, to remember why I do this and who the audience is. And we have the best audience on the planet. You know, their openness and eagerness to learn. What is your message for them? What do you want to say? What would you like to offer them, your invitation for them to step through without fear?
I want you to believe in you like I believe in you. I don't have to know you. I don't have to know your life story, but you woke up this morning, which means you are worthy of hype. And I'm here to do that for you. I believe in you out of nowhere, out of nothing, just because you're here. And you deserve that.
What's next for you? This is a question I want to ask because of the topic we're talking about today. So I know the good news is I waited. We only have like 60 seconds left. But, you know, part of this is you must think about your own life and you must say, you know, not that you want to go play ping pong, but you must also apply your own methods, right?
Yeah. So I'm in a doctoral program that just started a few months ago that's going really well. Husband and I just booked a trip to Iceland because we said, you know what? Let's go. Who's stopping us? Nobody. So, you know, we're just living our best life in the moment so that we don't have to be 80 and go, you know what? I really wish I would have taken that trip to Iceland or wherever. Do it now.
I get it. Exactly. And by the way, I had a couple of friends go to Iceland, a bunch of years ago, and they got taken to all these sacred places. I had no idea that that's what Iceland had. I mean, really, really ancient, sacred, vibrational. You're going to have a blast.
I'm so excited.
Now I'm starting to think Iceland, table tennis, Iceland. Oh, my God. Alexis, one more time. How do we find out more about you, please?
Yes, withoutfeardoula.com, at withoutfeardoula on socials, and withoutfeardoula@gmail.com gets straight to me.
Absolutely. And for those of you out there, I want to remind you what this show title was, this episode, because it's so important. What we regret and how to fix it before it's too late. Thank you to Alexis Hughes. Thank you so much, Alexis, for everything you do in the world. This is a big one. This is a big one.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for having me here. You bet. And see the little sign behind Alexis? It says without fear. So it isn't just figuring this out. It's figuring it out without fear. Big, huge difference. We'll see you next time.